Welcome to the Natural Allergy Treatment Podcast. I'm your host, Jess, and joining me today is Jenny, who is our PAT expert naturopath based in Auckland, New Zealand. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, Jess.
We're part of Health and Wellness Australia and Auckland, who are a team of naturopaths around Australia and New Zealand that specialise in a natural allergy treatment called Positive Association Technique, or PAT. And for our first episode of 2024, we're going to be talking all about stress, cortisol, adrenal fatigue, and how these can contribute to your allergy symptoms. So to start us off, Jenny, why is everyone feeling a bit scattered and burnt out this time of year?
Yeah, well, this is really common. Sort of, we've just started with February and the crazy rush of December is over. So there's all that excess of food and drinks that many of us have had over that holiday period. And so some of you might still be feeling quite sluggish and tired and unmotivated, and your allergy symptoms are really causing you grief. So overindulgence in food and alcohol can be playing a part, but you also could be experiencing burnout, which is the more technical term being adrenal fatigue. So modern life leaves us little downtime. And so we spend a lot of time rushing around and can feel quite stressed out. And the end of the year, December, is generally when everyone's going crazy busy. And so January sort of tips through, everyone's had a bit of a holiday, and then February comes around and everyone's like, whoa, why am I still feeling so tired?
Yeah. And not only have we just come out of the most chaotic time of the year, but anxiety is actually on the rise in Australia and New Zealand, with more than one in six people struggling with an anxiety disorder from 2020 to 2022. And I guess that makes sense since we've just come out the other side of all these COVID lockdowns and now we're in the middle of a cost of living crisis. So how does this stress and anxiety affect the immune system?
So the immune system is intricately interwoven with our stress response. So in the short-term effects of stress are normal, but if prolonged, overall health can get really compromised, and extreme stress carries a risk of losing your body's metabolic reserve as cortisol levels remain constantly elevated. So increased cortisol suppresses your immune system, your gut, your reproductive hormones, and basically the effects can be present in a multitude of symptoms throughout your body, including an increase in the occurrence and symptoms of allergies or sensitivities.
So could you explain what cortisol actually does in the body?
Yeah. So the adrenal glands sit above the kidneys, and they are the stress management center for your body. So the inner part secretes adrenaline and noradrenaline, which is our fight or flight hormones. And the outer part, which is the cortex, produces the hormones cortisol, cortisone, DHEA, aldosterone, testosterone, estrogen, and progesterone. So like they're a really major part of our body and its workings. So cortisol is our body's most important adaptive stress hormone. So it controls many functions that affect our energy production. So it maintains blood sugar, it fights inflammation, and it helps us survive in stressful challenges. You know, it's that classic, you see the tiger, you need to be able to run away. Like that's what cortisol does. It gives you the ability to run. But unfortunately, the chronic low level of ongoing stress we face today can cause the adrenal response to become dysfunctional. So it leads to adrenal fatigue and other symptoms. So when the body is under any type of stress, cortisol increases as a compensatory mechanism. So this is normal. And so when the stresses go away, like the tiger, the cortisol levels fall back to normal. But in modern busy lifestyles, the body ends up just being in this constant state of stress with the adrenals pumping out more and more cortisol. So this is not how we originally were. Like we would have a dump of cortisol, would run away, we'd come back, and then all the levels would go back to normal, and then everything would sort of happen again in a cycle. But now we're just getting constant amounts of cortisol. So when cortisol and adrenaline levels in the blood increase, they inhibit the infection-fighting immune cells. So periods of prolonged stress can also cause the body to become hyper-responsive to cortisol. So the brain then makes this decision to turn off the stress response to protect the body from the effects of all this excess cortisol. But that kind of makes the body going a bit rogue. So it can result in a low cortisol state, which can be neurodegenerative and leave the immune system unregulated. So it causes issues with the thyroid, the pancreas, autoimmune disorders, and allergies.
So can prolonged stress actually contribute to the development of allergies and other reactions?
Yeah, so adrenal function plays a really important role in allergic reactions because most reactions involve the release of histamine and other substances that produce inflammation. So cortisol is actually a really strong anti-inflammatory. But the more histamine is released, the harder it is for the adrenals to work to produce enough cortisol to manage this inflammation, and therefore the more fatigued you become. And so people with environmental allergies are more likely to experience adrenal fatigue because they get stuck in the cycle of reduced cortisol, which allows the histamine to inflame the tissues more, which gives you, you know, more of these allergic symptoms. And that leads to an increase in the adrenal fatigue symptoms, as well as bigger allergic reactions. So also, when your brain is overloaded with demanding work or emotional stresses, your body can become deprived of glycogen, which is the same fuel source that feeds your muscles and your brain and prevents inflammation. So a chronic stress can create a cortisol-prompted inflammation. So where your body will have the psychological inflammatory response to the emotional stress. So if fight or flight becomes a normal state during times of persistent stress and chronic inflammation occurs when your immune system and adrenals are in overdrive, this is why they think that adults who have previously never had allergies before start getting them in later life. So adrenal fatigue is also implicated in almost all inflammatory disorders. And recent studies have proven now that there is a correlation between cortisol suppression and the increase of allergy severity.
So basically, cortisol and histamine create a vicious cycle. The more histamine that's produced, the more cortisol that's released until we hit that adrenal fatigue and get stuck in that chronic state of inflammation where we're really vulnerable to developing reactions.
Yeah, and you know, it's really interesting because stress can actually create reactions. I recall this one patient. She was driving in her car and she was eating strawberries and she had a car accident. And then every time after she ate strawberries, her body associated that trauma with the strawberries, and she broke out in hives like everywhere. It was really interesting. And then the other occasions I've met people who've had gastro, and they say it's like they get gastro to chicken, and then they recover. And then once they eat chicken, their body has an allergic reaction to the chicken because the body's associated the chicken as being the culprit or the reason why the body got sick in the first place. So when the body's under stress, it can do quite different things and attach inappropriate foods and then cause reactions with the body.
Yeah, and I guess it's a natural response that our body has. It's trying to figure out what's causing the reaction so it can protect it next time. But this reaction can become a bit maladaptive and cause these issues in the long term, I guess. So yeah. What's happening when it comes to topical steroid withdrawal as well?
Yeah, so this is really interesting because synthetic cortisone medications like cortisone creams, they stimulate cortisol because they want the anti-inflammatory effect that cortisol has. But when topical steroids have been overused or taken long term, they cause a prolonged decrease in adrenal function in the body. So when application stops, the adrenal glands take some time to return to their normal patterns of secretion, which creates this withdrawal symptom known as red skin syndrome. So red skin syndrome symptoms include swelling, redness, burning and stinging, and skin sensitivity within 1 to 2 weeks of stopping the steroids. And it is particularly prevalent in eczema-like skin conditions such as atopic dermatitis.
Yeah, and I guess like people with these kind of skin conditions, these cortisone creams are only meant to be a short-term solution, but I guess when it comes to medical treatment options, they are quite limited. So I understand how people can get stuck in that cycle of overusing and trying to sort of keep on top of it. But it's also worth mentioning that we see a lot of clients at our clinics who have a lot of anxiety around their reactions, especially when it comes to food reactions. So would this be feeding into that histamine-cortisol cycle?
Yeah, so we see a lot of clients who they can't figure out what they're reacting to, which can cause a lot of anxiety when you don't know whether or not you're going to get a flare-up when you eat a certain meal or not, especially when people go out to people's houses or if they go out to dinner. Like not knowing what you're going to react to or if you're going to react is actually a really horrible anxious state that a lot of people experience. And so there is an explanation for this, and it's actually a really common experience for those of people that are reacting to these food chemicals called salicylates, amines, and glutamates. Because they are in so many foods, it's really hard, unless you know what they are, what foods they're in. And so these food chemicals don't involve the immune system, but rather the digestive system. So reactions can take up to 24 to 48 hours to occur, and they only happen when someone consumes over their individual tolerance threshold. So you've heard me talk about this before, where you get to a certain point of load in your body, and then at that point, that's when your body has had enough of that substance and starts to react. But it can take 3 or 4 different times of eating it, or even 2 or 3 days of eating it, until you get to that threshold point. So again, if people have eaten, say, a tomato, but they didn't react, and then like they, and for one day, and then, but then they eat tomatoes for like 3 or 4 days, and then suddenly they react, they don't know for sure, was it the tomato or was it something else? And so it can be really confusing for them as well. When you eat food once without this reaction, and then it triggers this massive flare up. There's all this anxiety and unpredictability about eating, which can really contribute to a heightened stress state, which will increase the cortisol levels and make the flare ups worse. So it's hard for people, definitely. And this is one of the main reasons why people come to see us for positive association technique, because we not only use muscle testing to pinpoint these, but we also work to reduce these reactions so they don't need to have that anxiety around whether they're going to react or not. So it's such a great system. And actually, our next episode, we're going to talk about those food intolerances, salicylates and amines specifically. Have a listen if you think that might be something that you're interested in.
Yeah. So what are the telltale signs and symptoms of adrenal fatigue?
So interestingly, fatigue is actually one of the most common reasons people go to the doctor for. But adrenal fatigue is often undiagnosed because it's not always recognized as a medical condition. So people with adrenal fatigue can feel really tired upon waking and really fatigued throughout the day, which makes it difficult for them to perform daily tasks. They find it harder and harder to deal with stress, which can create this feeling of anxiety and panic attacks and depression and brain fog. But there are a whole range of symptoms from food intolerances and sensitivities to dry and thin skin, increased thirst and urination, food cravings for salty, fatty and high protein foods like meat or cheese, dizziness and headaches, hyperpigmentation of the skin, low body temperature, muscle weakness and back pain, heart palpitations, reoccurring infections, insomnia and weight gain or loss. So, you know, there is a lot of different symptoms that can happen from it.
Yeah. And well, I can really relate to this, as I personally experienced adrenal fatigue and a massive autoimmune psoriasis flare up back in 2022. So for me, it was following a really stressful couple of years running this business through all the COVID lockdowns, followed by a big growth phase where we were opening up all these new locations and then moved our head office. So I remember I had tonsillitis back to back 3 times in 2 months. And then I had this really bad allergic reaction to chlorine in a hot tub. And that just caused my psoriasis to flare up all over my body, and I was struggling with it for about 4 months. Now, but the silver lining of that experience is that I learned the impact that stress and cortisol can have on my health, and I've learned a lot about managing my cortisol levels better, as there's no way I'm letting that ever happen again. So what would be your favorite tips to help overcome adrenal fatigue?
Yeah, it's so common, and it's great that you, even though it was terrible, it's great that you had that experience, because it does make you more aware of what's going on and looking at ways to kind of manage it. So the first thing is worth talking to a health professional to give you a tailored nutritional and supplement advice, because it's essential that you get your supplements and your gut health back on track. But there's some great, great adrenal herbal medicines and nutrients out there that are amazing, that really do help. But in order to recover from adrenal fatigue, you need to try and remove or reduce as many stresses in your life as you can. You know, life is busy, but it's how you deal with the stresses that make the difference. So adrenal fatigue, unfortunately, won't go away on its own. So you just start to make small changes to start with and stick with them until they become a habit or part of your routine. And then you try and add a few in. So the first thing is, yeah, look at your stresses. Like, what is triggering you? It can be physical or emotional stresses, as well as a history of trauma can affect adrenal function and your stress response. So look at your life and work on ways to work through the stresses or find ways to manage them. So a big thing is, and we're all really bad at this, is ask for help if you're feeling overwhelmed. Like, people are really generally more than willing to help. It's more that we feel like we can't ask for help that stops it happening. Like, there's lots of people that in your life that would love to, you know, lessen your load if you just ask them. And we're all just waiting. It's just, I think it's a Kiwi and Australian thing that we, you know, we don't like.
That's true.
Yeah, we don't like to ask, and we need to.
Yeah.
And then exercising regularly is really important, because adrenaline produced by stress stays in the body for approximately 4 weeks until it's fully expelled. So a way to release it faster is through exercise. And even though it might not sound like exercise to you, but children crying, that's how they, one of the ways that they release it. So if they're really, really upset, it's just, you know, sometimes you see children and they are so hot and sweaty after they've been crying. It's because they are literally expelling all of this excess cortisol in the body. So as an adult, you know, find an exercise routine that works for you and then stick with it. So it's all well and good to begin something, but it's all about longevity and like keeping with it. So make it attainable and make it interesting. And if you don't like doing it alone, then find a buddy or somebody, or join a group, like a running group or something like that. So that, you know, sometimes when you join groups, you're more accountable. And so therefore you do the exercise more. But in saying that, but be aware of over-exercising, because this can also cause excess cortisol and contribute to adrenal fatigue. So there is quite a lot of like high-end, high-level athletes out there that actually have got adrenal fatigue just from doing too much exercise. So it's a balance, but definitely do some rather than none. And then this one might be hard for people, and again, small steps, but try and reduce or remove caffeine from your diet. So the stimulating effects of caffeine are actually similar to the body's own response under stress. So the coffee caffeine signals the body to release adrenaline. So when you're trying to calm your nervous system down, you don't really want something that's going to rev it up. And caffeine also pulls out the body's mineral stores, such as calcium, which are required for maintaining and repairing cells and keeping your immune system in balance. Another big one is, and most, well, not most, but some of you might be thinking about your alcohol intake over December and even January and be going, whoa, I need a bit of a break. Well, alcohol and stress are connected in several ways. So people will often drink as a way of dealing with stress. And in small, and I mean like really like a glass kind of thing, small amounts in the short term, it can cause a decrease of cortisol levels, which creates a calming effect on the body and helps people to relax. But unfortunately, in the long term, consistent alcohol consumption can do the opposite and can cause the cortisol levels to increase. It also can interfere with the body's ability to regulate the cortisol levels, which creates elevated levels of cortisol over time. And then like really long-term high alcohol consumption may also affect your body's ability to react or cope under stress. So it can increase the stress response and raise the cortisol levels to a point where you get mental health issues like anxiety and depression and sleep disturbances. Which is going to contribute to these symptoms if you already have them. But also avoid drinking on an empty stomach, as it can also increase cortisol levels. So, and also sometimes it means that you don't feel like eating at all, which means the next morning it will reduce your energy levels and your stamina for the next day. And then this one's hard if you're out at a pub or something, but try and stop drinking 2 hours before you go to bed, because alcohol can disrupt your sleep, leading to cortisol problems in the morning. So cortisol production, like when it's normal, happens through the night, and actually it peaks at 8 a.m. in the morning, and then gradually reduces throughout the day, the lowest level being before sleep. But back on that exercise mention, is if you, there's this thing called tired and wired, where if you exercise at night, you can produce more cortisol. And so instead of like relaxing and, you know, your body's getting ready to sleep, it can actually give you a hit of cortisol and you can feel too tired to sleep. So if you find that, then switch your doing your exercise to the morning, because that's going to not affect your sleep at night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I guess it's like playing to our natural cortisol cycles of where they should be, trying to sort of tailor our lifestyle around it, I guess. Yeah. And they're all really good tips. I found a few other things that helped me a lot through my experience. One of them being making sure you're getting enough sleep each night. So 7 to 8 hours, as a lack of sleep can increase those cortisol levels and make it more difficult to manage stress. Also finding some kind of relaxation practice, whether it's one of those mindfulness apps, doing breathing techniques. For me, I really like yin yoga. I find that really helps. And these are all proven to lower cortisol levels and promote relaxation, so you can help stay focused in the present moment, and also that helps to work on anxiety. There have also been numerous studies showing that spending time in nature, often called forest bathing, reduces anxiety, lowers cortisol levels, and activates the parasympathetic nervous system. And this is because plants produce chemicals called phytoncides, which have a calming effect on the nervous system when we inhale them. So this can even be from just some trees at your local park, like going for a walk before or after being in the office all day. And last and not least, managing your reactions to food, airborne and chemical substances using positive association technique, as that's going to help reduce the overall histamine released and the overall inflammatory load on your body. So Jenny, would you mind explaining how PAT works through this context of stress and cortisol?
Sure. So during a PAT session, we're stimulating the vagus nerve and the nerve bundles that coordinate all of the different organ systems in the body. So we're using this particular chiropractic tool that has a gentle tapping motion down your back while you're holding onto a sample vial of a trigger substance. So this stimulation actually has a calming effect and helps to regulate the nervous system's response to the trigger substance and helps to put you into that parasympathetic, which is that rest and digest, or that rest and restore mode. So it actually feels really relaxing as well as relaxing the body. So it helps to retrain the body's current reaction to this trigger substance, and to tell the body it's not something that it needs to react to, because it's actually something harmless like pollen, and this helps to reduce the symptoms too. So we see a lot of clients who have started experiencing issues following a stressful event or after a period of chronic stress. And so we're able to help lessen the load on their really overwhelmed system with our treatments.
Yeah, so if anyone listening is interested in learning more about our natural allergy treatment called Positive Association Technique, or PAT, you can visit our website, naturalallergytreatment.com.au. On our website, you can request a PAT information e-pack, which is specific to your symptoms. And we also have an online booking system for all our clinics located all over Australia, as well as in Auckland, New Zealand. Otherwise, be sure to subscribe to our channel. As Jenny mentioned, on our next episode, we're going to be talking all about food chemical intolerance, specifically to salicylates and amines, the two biggest ones. So thanks for today, Jenny. I look forward to chatting to you again then.
Great. Yeah, thanks, Jess. Me too.